The Bible reading is from James chapter 1 and verse 13 to verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived it, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Okay, let's turn to that passage in James. James chapter 1, page 1213 in the Church Bible. Now, John Cook dealt with the first part of chapter 2. And I miscalculated when I gave him that passage. And I should have given him the passage that I'm going to preach on now. And I was tempted just to go on into the second part of James 2. But this is an important passage, so we'll go back into James 1 and then we'll go into the second part of James 2 a fortnight tonight. So, we're looking at verses 19 to 25, James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. It's a passage about God's Word. It's about the importance of listening to God's Word, and it's about the importance of obeying God's Word. The context, you'll remember, is that James is telling us that we should only blame ourselves whenever we sin. Whenever we sin, we shouldn't blame God. We should blame ourselves. God doesn't tempt anyone to sin. He doesn't sin himself and he doesn't tempt anyone to sin. God is good and all he does is good and all he gives is good. And sin is from us, it's not from God. In fact, James says God has given us his word to make us good. So sin comes from us and not from God. Our responsibility is to receive and obey the good word of God. So that's the context. And James makes 2 points, the importance of listening to God's word and the importance of obeying God's word. First of all, the importance of listening to God's word. He tells us that it's through the word of God that we become Christians. And it's through the word of God that we grow as Christians. So the Word of God is pretty important. It's through the Word of God that we become Christians, and it's through the Word of God that we grow as Christians. Look at verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. We were given birth, we were born again, we were given new life, spiritual life, through the Word of God. And look at verse 21. It talks at the end of verse 21 about accepting the word planted in us which can save us. So the Word of God saves us, and the Word of God brings us to new birth. Now in this connection, just look over to 1 Peter, which is the next book in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1218 in the Church Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So again, Peter says there that we're born again through the living and abiding Word of God. We're born again through the Word of God. We're saved through the Word of God. Now elsewhere, Jesus tells us that we're born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. The new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus taught Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3. So that's obviously true. We're born again through the Holy Spirit. But what is the instrument that the Spirit uses to bring us to new birth? The instrument that the Spirit uses to bring us to new birth is the Word of God. In fact, Paul can actually call the Word the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit's sword. It is the Word that the Spirit uses to pierce, to cut into our consciences, into our hearts, into our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God. So we're born again through the Word of God. We're saved through the Word of God. Now what does James mean by the Word of God? It's a very strange expression when you think about it. When you actually stop and think about it, it's a strange expression. The Word, singular, of God. We become so familiar with these biblical expressions that we forget how strange they are. You might have thought that James would have said, the words of God. After all, when we speak, we use words. So you would think that when God speaks, he uses words, and he does. But all the words that God has spoken are a unity, and they form a single body of truth. They form a single message. They form a single word, if you like. All the words that God has ever spoken form one wonderful word of God. I'm thinking of the words of the Old Testament. I'm thinking of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking of the words of his apostles. All pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word who has become flesh. And all pointing us to the salvation that comes to us through him. And all written down for us now, the words of the prophets, the words of the apostles, the words of Jesus, all written down for us now in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible, which we call the Word of God. So it's through the Bible that we're born again. It's through the Bible that we're saved. But, you know, in New Testament times, there was no New Testament. In New Testament times, there was no New Testament. James may well have been the earliest of all the New Testament writings to be written. So when he talked about the Word of God, he couldn't mean, make sure you read your Bibles every day. Go home and get that dusty old Bible down off the shelf and read it every day. He couldn't have meant that. He couldn't have meant that. That was impossible. And it's actually been impossible for the vast majority of Christians down through history. The printing press wasn't invented until about 600 years ago. So for the first 1400 years of church history, every single copy of the scriptures was written out by hand. That meant that the scriptures were rare, and it also meant that they were extremely expensive. Hardly anybody could afford a Bible. Those of you who remember your history from school will remember that in the days of King Henry VIII, he made a law, he made a decree, that every parish church, and there were only parish churches in England at that time, there weren't any other churches other than the parish church, every parish church had to have a Bible. One Bible. And it had to be chained to the lectern so that nobody could nick it. It was a big Bible. And you can go to some museums and still see some of these great old Bibles from King Henry VIII's day, which were chained to the lecterns so that nobody could steal the village Bible, the parish Bible. And in any case, it's only recently that the majority of Christians have even been able to read at all. So James did not mean, make sure you go home and get that dusty old Bible off the shelf and read it every day. He did not mean that. That was impossible. And it's impossible for many Christians today. In many parts of the world today, the Bible is either non-existent or existing only in little bit here and there. Translators like Wycliffe Bible translators are still working on bits of the Bible in many languages. Okay, so that's why James talks about the importance of listening to the Word. Listening to the Word. Down through history, most Christians have had to rely for their knowledge of God's Word on listening to the Word. Listening to it being read publicly. Very, very important. We neglect that perhaps. You know, because we can read the Bible at home any time we like, day or night, the public reading of the Scriptures perhaps isn't regarded as particularly important. But, you know, it was a very, very important part of every Christian service when people couldn't read themselves or where they didn't have a Bible of their own. They went to church to hear the Word of God being read. And then, of course, they went to church to hear the Word of God being explained. So the emphasis in the New Testament is on the preached Word. It is on hearing the Word. It's on listening to the Word. Even this book, James, would have been read out publicly to the congregations to which it was addressed, as would all the epistles in the New Testament. So people become Christians through hearing the Word of God. We are born again through hearing the Word of God. Yes, there may be some people who nowadays pick up a Gideon's Bible in a hotel room and they're born again through reading the Word of God. That's great, but it's quite recent, quite recent. Most people have been converted through hearing the Word of God, listening to the Word of God. Let me just prove this to you from the New Testament. Just turn to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And that's on page 1137 in the Church Bible. Let's just read from verse 12, where towards the end of verse 12, Paul says that the Lord richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Somebody has to send preachers and pay for them. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, hearing the word. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the word, hearing the message. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, which is on page 1173, and we'll read verses 13 and 14, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Acts chapter 11, verse 14. Acts chapter 11, 14. The angel said to Cornelius, sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter, verse 14, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. A message, a word, a message through whom you and all your household will be saved. Well, I could go on, I could give you many other references. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everybody who believes. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says that the word of the cross, the message of the cross, the gospel message, saves people. And it saves those who are... It is foolishness to those who are perishing, and it is wisdom to those who are being saved. And he says it's more powerful than all the philosophy that the Greeks long for, the wisdom of the Greeks, which never saved anybody. And it's more powerful than the signs and the wonders and the miracles that the Jews went in for. They never saved anybody. The only thing that can save anybody, the only thing that can save a sinner, is the preaching of the cross, the message of the cross of Jesus. That's the power of God for salvation. Okay, so we're saved through hearing the word of God. Have you understood what a huge privilege it is to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel? Some of you, like myself, have heard the word of God twice a week. Almost since the day we were born. All our lives we have been familiar with the Word of God. What a privileged people we are. What an awesome responsibility that gives to us. To whom much has been given, much from whom, sorry, to whom much has... Now let me start again. From whom... I can't remember the reference, I'm going to have to get it right. From whom much has been given, much will be required. From whom much has been given, much will be required. There are millions of people in this world who have never heard the gospel. They have never heard the word of God. They have never heard about Jesus Christ. They've never heard that he died on the cross for sinners. They've never heard that he rose from the dead. They are without God. They're without Christ. They're without hope in this world. And there are millions of other people who have heard a garbled version of the Christian message. They have not, even in this country of ours, the majority of people in this country have never heard the gospel clearly taught. By clearly taught, I mean taught in a way that they are able to understand it. Something like a Christianity Explored, which our young people are doing at the moment. That's what it takes these days to get a person to understand the gospel. And millions of people have yet to hear the word of God clearly. It is the word of God that saves us. Therefore, it's important to listen to it. And it is the word of God not only that saves us, but that sanctifies us. We come alive through the Word of God, and we grow through the Word of God. Sanctify them, said Jesus, as he thought of his disciples that he was leaving in this world. Sanctify them through your Word. Your Word is truth. And in that passage in 1 Peter, he says that we're born again through the living and abiding Word of God, and we should therefore crave pure spiritual milk like newborn babes. I won't bore you with my grandchildren, but a four-week-old grandchild, we were there yesterday. She likes milk. She likes milk. And that is how we should be. If we're the children of God, if we've been born again through the living and abiding Word of God, we should like milk. We should like the Word of God. We should crave it. We should have an appetite for it. And it is through that craving for milk that they grow. It's amazing how quickly they grow. Just 4 weeks. Big difference. It's all through milk. It's the milk that's done it. And if we are newborn babes, then we should long for pure spiritual milk. And that's why in the New Testament there's a huge emphasis on teaching God's people the Word of God, so that God's people can be built up, so that they can be edified, so that they can be built up. Jesus sent his church to all the nations to disciple all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them everything that he had commanded them. Okay. So James says we're saved through the Word of God, and we are sanctified through the Word of God. Therefore, he says, verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Now, some people take this out of context and they quote this as just a bit of good advice about counseling people, or just social skills, really. Nobody likes people who talk all the time. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's a bit of good advice, especially if you're a counselor. You listen to people's problems before you try and give your answer. And there's loads about that in the book of Proverbs. You know, it's good stuff. It's good advice. And the book of Proverbs backs it up. But I don't think this is about that. The context here is listening to the Word of God. That's what it means in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Verse 23. Anyone who listens to the Word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In verses 22 and 23, he's talking about listening to the Word of God. So to my mind, it would be very, very strange if listening in verse 19 meant something different from listening in verses 22 and 23. So I think when he says, be quick to listen in verse 19, he's talking about listening to the Word of God. We're saved through the Word of God. We're sanctified through the Word of God. Therefore, we should be quick to listen to the Word of God. And we should humbly receive the Word of God. And we should submit to the Word of God. Verse 21. Humbly accept the Word of God planted in you, which can save you. Submit humbly to the Word of God. Instead of thinking we know it all, instead of telling God what he ought to do, instead of angrily accusing him if we think he hasn't done right, listen to his Word. Listen to the Word of God. There may also be a reference here to chapter 3, verse 1 of James. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, he may be saying we should be more eager to listen to the Word of God than to teach the Word of God, which is a word for people like me. Those who teach the Word of God are going to be judged more strictly, says James. So We don't want everybody queuing up to teach the Word of God. It's a huge responsibility. We should be quick to hear the Word of God. Everyone. Everyone. No exception. Every week, listen to the Word of God. If you can't make it in the morning, come in the evening. Come twice if you like. Won't do any harm to hear God's Word twice on a Sunday. It's never done anybody any harm. And it might have done some people a lot of good. Come twice. But certainly, if your duties take you away from the church on a Sunday morning, and it may be good church duties that you're involved in, downstairs or something. If you're teaching or in the creche on a Sunday morning, and you can't get to hear God's Word, then make sure that you come in the evening. This is for everybody. It's important. No exception. Everyone I know doesn't come to church thinks that they're the exception. They think, everyone I know doesn't come to church, and I know a few. I know two or three Christians. Not here. I'm not talking about anybody you know. I'm talking about people I know who claim to be Christians and don't come to church. They all think they're the one exception. They don't need to come to church. They're wrong. Every single Christian needs to hear the Word of God regularly. It's important. So, everyone should be quick to hear the Word of God. And if listening to the Word of God is important, so therefore is teaching the Word of God. And that's why in the New Testament there is such an emphasis on the ministry of the Word. Church leaders, elders, pastors, whatever you want to call them, are ministers of the Word. Read Acts 20, where Paul addresses the elders at Ephesus. And he uses his own ministry as the model for them to follow. And he uses these words, preaching, teaching, declaring, proclaiming, testifying, warning. It's all word ministry. That's what you should be doing, he says. Teaching, preaching, declaring, proclaiming, testifying, warning. Read Timothy and Titus, which are epistles addressed to church leaders. And notice the emphasis on sound teaching. And the word sound just means healthy. Healthy teaching. Teaching that enables you to grow. Teaching that grows Christians. And he tells Timothy and Titus to appoint elders who can teach. That's the one spiritual gift that's mentioned. All the other qualifications for elders are qualities of character. The one spiritual gift that's mentioned for elders is teaching, skilled in teaching. And he tells Timothy to appoint men who can teach, who will be able to teach others to teach. And he says those who labour in preaching and teaching are worthy of double honour. In fact, he says some of them should get paid, which is the reason why some churches have paid teaching elders like this one. It's a full-time job to get into God's Word regularly and teach it as well as we possibly can. Paul says those elders who labour in preaching and teaching should be worthy of double honour, and he goes on to talk about the labourer being worthy of his hire. And what about Titus chapter 1 verse 6? Titus chapter 1 verse 6. A similar passage where he lists the qualifications for elders. An elder, sorry, it's not verse 6, it's verse 9, Titus 1:9. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So elders feed and guide and guard and lead the church by modelling and by teaching the Word of God. And we mustn't allow ourselves to be diverted into doing anything else. We mustn't allow ourselves to be diverted into becoming priests, simply people who dispense the sacraments. That's the way a huge percentage of clergy have been diverted, into mere priests. dispensing sacraments. Social workers, managers of growing organisations, many churches nowadays, because they happen to compete with other churches, are growing organisations, and the pastor is very often nothing more than a manager. Psychiatrists, worship leaders, diversion, diversion. Church leaders are here to teach the people the word of God, because that's how people are saved, and that's how people grow. The importance of listening to the word. And secondly, and I'm not going to spend so long on this, the importance of obeying the word of God. Verses 22 to 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. James says, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word. He's not decrying listening to the word. He's told us to be quick to listen to the word. But he says it's possible to listen to God's word regularly and to be deceived. You can listen to God's word regularly and be deceived. Well, how can that happen? Well, says James, if all we're doing is listening, if that's all we're doing, just listening. One of James's great concerns throughout this letter is that we don't deceive ourselves. Faith without works, chapter 2. We'll come to that next time. Hearing without doing, chapter 1. Mere orthodoxy, mere head knowledge that doesn't change us. Hearing the word and doing nothing about it. It's self-deception, says James. It's self-deception. It is possible to be a sermon taster. It is possible to listen to God's word merely to gather information, merely to satisfy our curiosity, even to show off our Bible knowledge, or just to win arguments. It's never been easier to be a sermon taster than it is today. You know, on the internet, you can get the top sermons of the top preachers every day. You can get a sermon every hour. You could spend your whole day, 24/7, listening to good sermons on the internet now, if you wanted to. And listening to sermons can become a hobby. You know, for some people it's British Rail timetable. For other people, it's the Bible. It's an interest. A good sermon can be entertaining. It can be a satisfying experience, intellectually, to listen to a well-presented sermon, point by point. And we can become familiar with sermons. And sermons can go in one ear and out of the other, and make no real impact on our lives whatsoever. Remember the parable of the sower, where some of the seed falls on the path, and it's devoured by birds before it can take any root whatsoever. The birds devour it because it's fallen on the hard path. And Jesus says that that stands for Satan, who snatches away the word of God before it can make any impact upon our lives. And I was listening to Bill Bygrove on the internet recently. And it was Ian Davis who sent me the sermon. He emailed the sermon to me. So he obviously thinks I need it. And Bill Bygrove was saying on this passage from the parable of the sower that Satan is present at every church service. He never misses a meeting. And his great aim is to stop God's word taking any root in our hearts. He just devours it. The birds of the air devour it before it's made any impression whatsoever. So So a person can listen to God's word and be deceived if all he's doing is listening and nothing else. We should listen to God's word like a soldier listens to his commanding officer. We should listen to God's word like a servant listens to his master. You can have a very impressive record of sermon listening and be completely deceived, says James. Be doers. That's how it used to be in the Authorized Version. Be doers of God's word. I quite like that translation. Because it means, and I think that the Greek is a continuous verb, it means constant habitual practice. Be doers of God's word. Make it your constant habitual business to do God's word. It's not something you just do now and again. It's not sudden bursts of activity every now and again. It's something we are. We are doers of God's word. That describes us. We are doers of God's word. Now if you can potter around in your garden and not be a gardener. There are people who potter in their gardens occasionally, and there are gardeners. A gardener is somebody for whom the garden is everything. And his whole business in life and his ambition in life is to garden. And James says, be doers of God's word. Make it your constant concern, make it your constant business. Be doers of God's word. And he says that somebody who listens to the word and doesn't do anything about it is like somebody who looks at his face in a mirror and goes away and doesn't do anything about what he's seen. He doesn't make the necessary adjustments. I mean, why do you look in a mirror? Mirrors, of course, in New Testament days were probably rarer than they are now. I mean, you're surrounded by mirrors now, aren't you? Every room probably has a mirror and you can't get away from yourself in our houses these days. But probably mirrors were quite rare in those days. Why do you look in a mirror? And also mirrors were not made out of glass. They were made out of polished brass or bronze or something. You didn't get much of an image. And you had to gaze intently, look intently, verse 25, into a mirror if you wanted to have any idea of what you looked like. So James says, what is the point of doing that and then going away and not combing your hair or not washing or not having that shave that you need? What is the point of looking into a mirror and saying, that's interesting, or how nice? You don't do that, do you? James says, just as we look into a mirror in order to make the necessary adjustments to our person, so we should look into God's word intently and continue in it, not forgetting what we've seen, or not forgetting what we've heard, thinking about it, meditating upon it, praying over it. It is God's word that saves us, and it is God's word that sanctifies us. It is God's word that gives us growth, that gives us birth, and it is God's word that gives us growth. And you'll never be a strong Christian without it. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. It's the way of blessing. End of verse 25. He will be blessed in what he does. And that's what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, or who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law he meditates day and night. It's the way of blessing. So let's close now in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the incredible privilege that most of us here have had in many occasions throughout our lives of hearing the word of God. of being familiar with the gospel from childhood. Lord God, that gives us an enormous responsibility. If we are not saved, if we have not turned in repentance and faith to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And Lord, we pray that those of us who do know the Saviour will make it our business to be doers of his word. May we make that the aim and goal of our lives, to be doers of the word of God. We pray, Lord, for our young people, and we thank you, Lord, for the Christianity Explored course that's taking place downstairs. And we thank you that this week they've come to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Father, we pray for every one of those young people, that early in their lives they will come under the rule of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, that they will own him as their Saviour and as their Lord and King. Grant, O Lord, that even tonight there will be those who respond to the crucified and risen Saviour. Even this evening, we commit them to you and ask your blessing now upon us all as we part. In Jesus' name, Amen.